Hi, welcome back to Joe Blogs. This video is the next in a series looking at the financial implications of Russia's invasion of Ukraine on the global economy. And in today's video, I want to talk to you about Peru. Now, Peru is a country that's located in South America, and it is now being impacted directly by what's going on in Eastern Europe. So I've recently posted videos on the impact of this crisis on Egypt in Africa and Sri Lanka in Asia, and now the impact is hitting South America. And this week we have seen a lot of protests from the population of Peru who are unhappy about rising fuel, fertilizer and food costs. And some of those protests turned violent and the army got involved. And the government announced a state of emergency and a 24-hour curfew. So we're starting to see the same problems in Peru as we've seen in the other two countries that I've focused in on, where basic essentials are becoming unaffordable for most of the population, and that's causing civil unrest and potential political turmoil in the country. So in this video, I'll give you a little bit of background on Peru. We'll focus in on what the key problems are in the economy. I'll talk about the protests and the resultant curfew that was announced. We'll then talk about the governmental action to try to address these problems. And then finally, I'll give you my overview as to what I think is likely to happen in Peru and how this is impacting on other countries in South America and the global economy generally. So before we get into all of that, if I could ask you to give me a thumbs up at some point during this video, if you're enjoying the content, and also to subscribe if you haven't done so already. And don't forget that I always include chapters in my videos. So if there's a section you're not particularly interested in, it's really easy to skip over it and move on to the next. And if you'd like to support the channel, please have a look at the description below where you'll find links to Buy Me a Coffee and Patreon. Peru is a country that's located in northwest South America and has a population of 33 million. It was famously home to the ancient civilization of the Incas, who set up the city of Machu Picchu high up in the Andes Mountains. The Amazon River runs through Peru, and around half of the country is covered by tropical rainforest. Peru has a variety of natural minerals and resources and is the second largest exporter of copper globally. Metal ores and minerals make up around 50% of the country's exports, and the biggest industries within Peru are services and manufacturing. There is a large rural population in Peru, and around 27% of the population are employed in agriculture. The large rural population is not wealthy, and around 20% of the people in Peru are living below the poverty line. There's been a lot of political turmoil and unrest in Peru over the last 20 years or so, and the latest president was elected in July 2021, and he's a former teacher and unionist, and he was supported predominantly by the rural population. However, his popularity has fallen significantly in recent months, and it's estimated that he currently has only around 25% of the national vote. Peru does have a positive balance of trade. However, the makeup of its imports and its exports are quite interesting because the majority of its exports are raw materials. They're exporting a lot of ores and they're importing a lot of oil and fertilizer that's used by the rural population, higher value finished goods and food items. Inflation has been rising in Peru over the last few months. Peru has been affected by the general rise in fuel, agriculture and food costs that we've seen, but the marked increases that have taken place since the Ukraine crisis started have caused those problems to escalate. Fuel and fertilizer are absolutely essential to a lot of people in Peru. More than a quarter of Peru's population are fully dependent on agriculture, and Peru operates intensive farming techniques and requires high levels of fertilizer, all of which is imported from overseas. Fertilizer is created using byproducts from oil, so the direct impact of the Ukrainian crisis has meant that fertilizer prices have risen dramatically over the last 6 weeks or so. These price hikes, alongside the increased cost of gasoline in the country, have caused the people of Peru to come out and protest. The protests were initially started by lorry drivers and bus drivers who decided to go on strike and blockade the main transport route into the capital city of Lima. The lorry and bus drivers were joined by other members of the population in protests, and these protests then turned to violence, and at least four people were killed. The government deployed 95 army units into various cities around Peru, and a state of emergency was declared and a 24-hour curfew was imposed on the whole of the country. News of this curfew was not well received by sections of the community, and a lot of people came out and protested. As a direct result of these follow-on protests, the government then announced that it was abandoning the curfew 5 hours early. As a direct result of the protest, the government has now announced that all tax on gasoline and diesel will be waived until the 30th of June, and have indicated that this potentially could be extended until the end of December. Alongside this change to fuel tax, they've also announced that they're waiving all tax on chicken, eggs, pasta and flour in an attempt to try to calm things down in the country. Alongside the tax changes, the government has also announced an immediate 10% increase in the minimum wage for all workers. So what's the summary and conclusion today? Well, I wanted to post this video because although Peru is a relatively small country in the global sense, it's important to note that we're seeing impacts on all different continents around the globe right now of the Ukraine crisis. So the main factors that have come out of this war are a massive increase in oil prices and a huge increase in food prices and general shortages. And Peru have been directly impacted by all three of those areas. Peru is dependent upon the import of fuel for all of its population. But the biggest factor that they've seen over the last few weeks is the huge rise in the price of fertilizer. So the average person in Peru is involved in agriculture, and that agriculture is entirely dependent on fertilizer to make sure that they're maximizing the yield of their products. And Peru grows a lot of blueberries and avocados and grapes that are exported all around the world. So if they can't get hold of the fertilizer, that will reduce their yield, therefore that will reduce the income of these rural populations, and that will have a devastating impact. Because around 1 in 5 of the population in Peru is living on the poverty line, they don't have any headroom whatsoever. They can't afford to lose a day's wages because that means that they won't be able to put any food on the table. Last year, Peru imported over 1.2 million tons of fertilizer, and they're purchasing that internationally. And as soon as the price of oil moves, it moves the price of fertilizer because all of the essential ingredients come directly from the oil sector. To compound that problem, the price of fuel has also risen dramatically in Peru, as has the price of imported food. So the direct impact of this war is that the basic ingredients for everyday living for the average person in Peru have all jumped in price. They need food, which has increased dramatically. They need fuel and they need fertilizer for their employment. So this has caused people to come out onto the streets and protest. And unfortunately, those protests have been handled quite badly and have turned to violence, and we have seen some deaths. Now, the government in Peru is relatively new and relatively inexperienced, and it looks like we're going to see more social unrest because these problems will not be fixed overnight. The government has just announced that it's waiving all taxes on fuel and some of the food items, but that's just the tax element. It doesn't address the fact that the fundamental price of oil and fertilizer and food is rising because of this conflict. So even if there's no tax applied to any of those items, the prices are still going up. So therefore, the population will still have to find more money. Now, inflation is currently at its highest level for 26 years in Peru. And the problem that you have when you have a lot of people below the poverty line is that those movements in inflation disproportionately affect those people because all of the basic items that they have to buy on a daily basis are all going up. So the government has increased the minimum wage by 10% to try to counter this, but that's unlikely to be enough because inflation rose by 1.48% in the month of March. So we've got a real problem here. And as you'll know, if you follow the channel, the problem with increasing wages is it then fuels further inflation. So it's likely that inflation will go higher. And that means it puts more pressure on those people who don't have any money, and therefore they need more wage increases. And the whole thing becomes a vicious circle. So I'll keep you posted on any further developments and news coming out of Peru, but the point of this video really was just to show you how many different countries around the world are now starting to feel the impact of what's happening in Eastern Europe. This proves how interconnected the global economy is. I would bet that a lot of people in Peru have never even heard of Ukraine, but all of a sudden what's happening in that country is having a direct impact on their daily existence. We're seeing price rises, which is causing hardship, which is leading to protests, which is leading to civil unrest, which could lead to complete disorder in the Peruvian society. So hopefully you found this video interesting, and I'm starting to change the way you think about the world. It's not just about individual countries. Everything has a knock-on impact. There's usually a domino effect from every single action. And certainly what's happening in Ukraine right now is having a huge domino effect across the whole of the world. So thanks again for watching today, and don't forget to give me that thumbs up if you've liked the content of this video. Hey guys, I just wanted to give you a very brief update on Joe Blogs 2, the project that we've been talking about in terms of trying to find some YouTube stars of the future. Well, the great news is we've now gone through that magical 1,000 subscriber level. So we've ticked the box in terms of achieving that goal. But the other goal that we need to achieve is the watch hours. In order to get monetized on YouTube, you have to have 1,000 subscribers and 4,000 hours of watch time. And that's more difficult to achieve. And I know that the videos on the channel are not videos that you would normally be watching. But if you could do me a favor, if you could go over to the channel and watch one or two of those videos, or ideally, if you could click on the playlist and run through all of those videos whilst you're doing some other things, maybe you can run it on your browser in the background, then that will help us achieve that goal of 4,000 hours. And then once we get to that point, we can apply for monetization from YouTube, which usually takes around about a month to achieve. And then we are ready to go with this experiment. So in the meantime, you should be thinking about what videos you want to start making. Have a think about whether you want to do some financial stuff like I'm doing, or whether you want to do some review videos of products, or whether you want to talk about something that you're just really passionate about or you're an expert in. But what I would ask you to do with those videos is make them structured, make them sequential, so that you've got an interesting way of talking about something. You can start off giving somebody an overview of what you're about to talk about, and then structure it, build it up systematically so that it draws the viewer through the whole of the video. And then think about what you're going to title your video, what you're going to call it, and how the thumbnail will look, how you're going to sell that. Because the thumbnail that goes onto YouTube is your sales platform. That's the way of telling people what your video is about and enticing them to watch it. So thumbnails are really important, and the message that you're trying to get across is really key. And it's quite difficult to achieve. I've been doing this for a little while now, and I've had to really develop my techniques in terms of thumbnail to really tell people what that video is about in a small number of words. It's quite tricky. It takes a bit of time. So I'd encourage you to start thinking about the thumbnail and what you're going to call the video as you're making it. Before you even start making it, think about it before you get going, because it's difficult later to come up with an idea if you haven't really built it into the structure of your video. So hopefully that's given you some motivation, got you enthused and ready to go and start thinking about making some videos. So don't forget to switch on that watch time, and thanks again for watching all the way to the end of this video.